The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. All right, today, tokers and tokettes, welcome. It is Tuesday, August 13th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are coming to you live and direct from Margarita Studios in Miami, Florida, continuing our tour of the Sunshine State. And today we have a wonderful show in store for you. Coming up on today's show, we are going to interview Mike G. He's the web editor from High Times Magazine. He's going to give us a preview of this upcoming Seattle Hemp Fest and how High Times will be represented there at the first legal Hemp Fest in Seattle, Washington. I'll be there as well. I've got a couple of speaking spots, as well as our good friend Herb Thrasher, who will be making his debut as a speaker at the Seattle Hemp Fest. He's been a vendor there for years. It's his first time as a speaker. He is thrilled about that. Also joining us on stage will be Sharon Ravert, the Georgia mom for marijuana, who's in our chat room and a good friend of the show. She was a speaker last year, kind of unofficially. This year, she got official billing, and we're so glad to see her there at Seattle Hemp Fest. One person who is a speaker but unfortunately will not be able to make it to Seattle Hemp Fest is our good friend Bobby Platshorn. His probation officer is not going to let him go, so we will be keeping him in our hearts and in our minds while we're there at Seattle Hemp Fest. We'll also preview the Seattle Cannabis Cup, the first legal cannabis cup in the Evergreen State, so we'll check that out. And, of course, the new issue of High Times Magazine, all that coming up with Mike G at half past the hour. Also on today's show, it's more of that Kevin Sabet spinning the Sanjay Gupta documentary Weed from CNN. He's got a post up on Huffington Post about marijuana rescheduling that attempts to muddy the waters. I clear things up right away. We talk about marijuana scheduling and why marijuana shouldn't be rescheduled. It should be descheduled. Also on today's show, there was an interview with the head of the Marijuana Policy Project, Rob Campia, that appeared on Reason.tv, and it's interesting in what he doesn't say. We'll take a look at that in our Behind the Headlines segment. And we've also got Bacon Dan coming on the show today for our 420 Radio News. He's going to tell us, he's going to come on for Daily Toker Tunes, my bad. He's going to tell us all about a new contest we're having here at 420 Radio where you could win a really cool piece of equipment. Plus, 420 Radio News coming up with the White House denouncing the release of a Mexican drug war lord. AG in Ohio is rejecting an amendment to legalize marijuana, and plenty more news. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indicas, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, August 13th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. White House denounces release of Mexican drug lord who ordered DEA agents killing, from FoxNews.com. The Obama administration responded Sunday to the prison release of a Mexican drug lord who was serving 40 years for the 1985 kidnapping, torture, and murder of U.S. DEA agent Enrique Kiki Camarena. Caro Quintero was released Friday by a Mexican court that overturned the conviction, saying he had been improperly tried in a federal court for state crimes. The Justice Department said it found the court's decision deeply troubling. Quote, the Department of Justice, and especially the Drug Enforcement Administration, is extremely disappointed with this result, end quote, the agency said in a statement. Caro Quintero still faces charges in the United States. The whereabouts of the 61-year-old Quintero is unclear after serving 20 years and then walking out of prison. DeWine rejects proposed amendment to legalize marijuana, from the Columbus Dispatch. A proposed constitutional amendment to legalize marijuana in Ohio was rejected yesterday by Attorney General Mike DeWine. The petition was submitted on August 2nd by three Ohio residents, including Tanya Davis, who has been involved in several previous marijuana issues. DeWine said the submitted ballot summary omits references to amendment language that which repudiates federal cannabis prohibitions and language saying, quote, persons cannot be considered to be under the influence of cannabis solely because of the presence of metabolites or components of cannabis in his or her body, end quote. He also faulted the summary because it says education will be provided about, quote, medical harms or benefits from the personal use of cannabis products, end quote, although the full amendment includes no such provision. Finally, DeWine said the summary did not refer to language in the body of the amendment, saying that the Departments of Agriculture and Commerce would be responsible for overseeing the program. Bellingham allows recreational marijuana businesses, from the Bellingham Herald. The city council voted 6-0 on Monday, August 12th, to allow recreational marijuana business to operate in industrial districts, with retail stores allowed in industrial and commercial zones. The emergency ordinance, which goes into effect immediately, lifts a controversial moratorium on marijuana businesses and gives cannabis entrepreneurs time to prepare applications for state licenses. The State Liquor Control Board is accepting applications for 30 days, beginning on September 16th. Assistant City Attorney Alan Mariner said staff would fast-track permanent rules for recreational marijuana so they could be in place by early 2014. The interim rules passed on Monday can only remain in place for up to 1 year. Gulf War veteran sues San Diego after medical marijuana bust leads to lost custody of children, from the New York Daily News.
A Gulf War veteran and his wife claim San Diego County senselessly cracked down on his use of medical marijuana by taking their two young children for 1 year. Michael Lewis and his wife Lauren Taylor are suing San Diego County, seven of its officers, the city of Coronado, and two of its officers for civil rights violations, battery, false imprisonment, and negligence, the Courthouse News Service reports. On August 5th, 2011, city police received an anonymous tip that the couple was operating a secret daycare center and smoking pot near children, the lawsuit claims. The couple says they allowed officers to enter and photograph their home to show them that they did not operate an illegal babysitting service. The only hazard officers uncovered was the marijuana, but Lewis provided his prescription, according to the family. The officers allegedly lied to the court, claiming that Lewis was a substance abuser who forgets records, a drug dealer, and a substance abuser who forges records, a drug dealer, and a serious threat to the welfare of his children. Arlington police defend raid on Garden Commune that yielded no marijuana, just code violations, from Dallas News. Arlington SWAT officers raided a Kennendale sustainability garden this month, but found only code violations, not the marijuana they were looking for. Authorities received two complaints that those living at the Garden of Eden were growing and distributing marijuana, according to Arlington Police Sergeant Christopher Cook. Quote, no cultivated marijuana plants were located on the premises, end quote, according to a city statement. Quote, narcotics detectives and members of the tactical unit cleared the scene within 45 minutes, end quote. Police handcuffed eight adults at gunpoint, mowed the grass, destroyed plants, and the materials they were planning to use in sustainability projects. Cook said it's not uncommon to use SWAT to execute drug search warrants, and the people were treated professionally. Quote, yes, they were initially handcuffed. However, once it was determined it was secure, they were taken out of handcuffs. Typically, we wouldn't do that, but they were compliant, end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, August 13th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines of the recent interview of Rob Campia predicting which states would be next to legalize marijuana and the obvious omission he left out of that list. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
You still don't get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Look, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in today, I noticed an interview posted at Reason TV where Rob Campia, the director of the Marijuana Policy Project, made the following predictions about upcoming marijuana legalization efforts in the United States. He said, quote, I think the next state to legalize will be Alaska through a ballot initiative that we're running in the August of 2014. Through state legislatures, I think the first state is going to be Rhode Island, end quote. A ballot initiative? In a non-presidential election year? Why, it was just last May when Mr. Campia was telling us up in the state of Oregon to heed the lessons of Prop 19 and wait until 2016, a presidential election year. He said, quote, "There are already well-meaning activists in Oregon and other states who aren't remembering the efforts of well-meaning activists in California, who ignored the lesson of waiting for a presidential election year and pushed a risky initiative during a non-presidential election in 2010, which I'm sure felt good, but succeeded at failing," end quote. Now, part of the political calculus Mr. Campia used was to take the 47% vote that Oregon got for what ABC News called the wacky pot law that failed in Oregon, then add 3 points for better drafting and advertising, but subtract 3 points, quote, "because November 2014 isn't a presidential election," end quote. Well, let's see. Last time Alaska tried legalization in 2004, a presidential year, they pulled 44%. Of course, that's a long time ago in marijuana politics, but as the Huffington Post story about Campia's interview continues, quote, "In Alaska, public policy polling recently surveyed voters and found 54% are currently in favor of legal weed." 54%, subtract 3 points because November 2014 isn't a presidential election, and you get 51%. However, Alaska's vote won't even be during the presidential election, but rather the August 2014 primary elections. Now, I have no idea how much you're supposed to subtract for that. So, what is the polling currently looking like in Oregon? As I wrote back in May, according to our poll from May of 2013 of registered likely 2014 voters, also known as a more conservative electorate, when read a lengthy statement explaining a tax and regulate initiative in great detail, 37% would definitely vote yes, 18% would probably vote yes, and 3% are leaning toward yes. That's 57%, with some rounding, that say they'll support legalization in Oregon in 2014. 57%. Subtract 3 points because November 2014 isn't a presidential election, and you get 54%. That's 3 points better than Alaska. Now, when it's common knowledge since June that Oregon's got at least two initiatives, statutory and constitutional, in the works to legalize marijuana, it is a little more than conspicuous not to mention that state anywhere in the next states to legalize marijuana interview. It looks especially untoward when the group had hired the campaign director of the 2012 legalization in Oregon to direct MPP's Oregon efforts, only to drop him and any plans for Oregon once it became clear MPP's Marijuana is Safer Than Alcohol campaign didn't sit well with local craft beer and wine industry lobbyists threatening to derail legislative efforts to legalize. Now, look, I'm not naive. Legalization campaigns take more than polls and money. They also require leadership and well-drafted language. And I've made my complaints about Oregon's legalization leadership and ballot language pretty well known. And those alone may be good enough reasons for Mr. Campia to believe Oregon won't pass legalization in 2014, but it could at least be mentioned that a number of states are pursuing legalization initiatives for 2014, like Alaska and Oregon, and I think Alaska has the best shot. He could say it like that. And the omission of Oregon becomes more stark when Mr. Campia continues the prognostication to 2016, saying, quote, and this is from Huffington Post story, "Campia went on to predict that many other states will also be voting on marijuana legalization on the same day in 2016, including California, Nevada, Arizona, Maine, and possibly Massachusetts." What? Did Oregon fall off the marijuana legalization map? Remember, he's not even saying that Oregon won't pass legalization in 2016. He's omitting them from a list of states to be voting on legalization in 2016. But at least you can say Mr. Campia is consistent because back in May he wrote, quote, If, however, a tax and regulation initiative is placed on the November 2014 ballot, then Oregon will fall by the wayside and lose its time in the sun in November 2016, in the same way that California was premature in 2010 and was unable to raise any funding for a 2012 ballot initiative. The comparison between California's past failure and Oregon's prospective failure is pretty precise. Taken together, it sounds like he thinks Alaska and Oregon will vote, and Oregon will fail and not make the ballot in 2016 either. Well, maybe some money and help would be nice.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history. Profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Funky roller ring.
Ooh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody, and time for some of our Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tunes. And joining us on the Skype line is our own Bacon Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I am doing great, Ross. How are you doing today?
Well, other than sitting in a state that feels like a sauna, or better yet, a steam room, that's what it feels like, I'm doing just fine. You know, us Pacific Northwest guys, we're not made for this tropical weather.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I was born on the East Coast, but I quickly assimilated into feeling like a native here of the Pac Northwest. And, I mean, it's 85 here right now, and I'm like, good Lord, can we get some rain and some clouds? Because this is just too damn hot for me.
I do have to say I like the warm ocean. It was very interesting getting into an ocean that was warm.
Yeah, that's a foreign concept to anybody here in Oregon.
Absolutely. Now, I kind of teased all of our audience when we were getting ready for the segment. I was telling them at the beginning of the show that we've got a special kind of contest that's that we're going to set up. And I really don't know much about it because you've been working on this behind the scenes. So why don't you tell everybody what's up?
All right. Well, this past Friday, I was extremely lucky enough to meet the owner of Magical Butter. It is a one-touch butter, that is B-U-T-T-E-R, making machine. The Mark II model also makes oils and tinctures. And thanks to some just, you know, informing the guy about what we do here at 420 Radio, he is shipping up a Mark II model to give away to our listeners here at 420 Radio. This is a machine that is valued at almost $200. It takes all the work out of making butter and tinctures and oil. Literally, you put in the stuff. You don't even have to grind your stuff to put it in. You just put it in, press the button, it does everything for you. And as he said, he doesn't make lead butter. He makes wheat butter better.
Oh, that sounds excellent. So we've still got to figure out the mechanism about how we're going to have this contest. Is that what we're waiting on?
Yeah, that's what we're waiting on. You know, the machine should be getting here to the 420 studios, you know, relatively soon. And once that happens, we're going to sit down and work out the details. But, you know, this is our way of giving back to our listeners for, you know, because, hey, I started out as just a listener, and it's changed my life. So it's time we try to change somebody else's life a little bit for the better as well.
Absolutely. And all of our listeners will be eligible. All of our moderators will be eligible, except Lively Libra. No, I'm kidding. Of course, Lively Libra is eligible. You're all eligible, folks. We just got to figure out a fair way to run this contest. So we'll get that figured out at Hemp Fest, after Hemp Fest, something like that. And Bacon Dan, I understand you're going to your first Hemp Fest, right?
I am. I am excited and a little bit overwhelmed because I've never done anything like this, so it's going to be a very good experience.
It will be an amazing experience, and we'll be there at Dab Central. That's booths 517 through 520. We're there with Oil Slick, Handmade Apparel, Happy Daddy Tools. There's a couple of others. Clay Gooding, I think, the artist. I'm getting that name wrong. I think I am. But there'll be a lot of people there. We got new banners, new cards, new postcards, flyers, posters, pins, buttons, stickers. Stop by 420 Radio at the Dab Central booth. It's right behind the main stage. You just go past the main stage, backstage area, and you won't miss us. You'll see the big banner and all of us having a good time there at Dab Central. All right, so we got to get to some tunes. What do you got loaded up in the old hopper for us today?
Oh, I've got a great one, especially given how happy I am with this contest we're going to be doing and with, you know, Hemp Fest coming up. We've got the Dropkick Murphys with the Prisoner song. It's so amazing how this song translates so well to many of us here in the cannabis community, because many times, depending on what state you live in, you feel like a prisoner just because you rather have something natural and wonderful like cannabis and not have to pump yourself full of, you know, pharmaceutical drugs. So, yes, while we all are, you know, prisoners in one way or another, we all are waiting for the day when our ship comes in and we can sit back and laugh and go, hey, remember that time when they thought we were wrong? Well, now we're right again.
Right on. Well, here it is, Dropkick Murphys with Prisoner Song, and thank you, Dan. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Looking back on the past where we still had a chance, we were pawns in a game that we could not win. Stone, we're dreaming of a future when our ship comes in. Yeah.
Hey, Lindsay? I wish you didn't smoke weed. You're not the same when you smoke. And I miss my friend. I'll be outside.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. The Russ Belleville Show visits with West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock for a look forward to the next issue and the next marijuana events in our High Times preview.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for our High Times preview. Let's finally get Mike P on the line. Can you hear me, Mike? All right, looks like we still don't have Mike connected to the call yet. Having a problem with the remote studio putting this together. So let me see if I can add this call number here. Get Mike on his phone out there in New York to join us here in the Skype virtual studio. Here we go. Let's see what we can get. Dialing out to Mike. All right. Still having some difficulties there, folks. I'm going to move us to a song here for just a moment while I try to figure out the technical issues. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stick around. We're not going anywhere.
I wish I was up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Sensimilia at the beginning of the day. But here I am in New York City, hiding out in Central Park, getting kidnapped by the police today sometime before dark.
Hey, Mike G from High Times is Radical Russ with the Russ Belleville Show. Are you there?
Hey, Russ. How's it going?
Hey, thanks for picking up there. I'm in Florida right at the moment, so working from the remote studio, having a couple of technical difficulties, but it looks like we got things going on just fine. How are you up there in New York?
Oh, we're very good. Drying out from a little bit of rain, but doing well.
All right. Well, there's a lot of stuff coming up in the cannabis community for us to preview. And of course, High Times is always at the center of all of that stuff. Coming up this weekend, we've got the Seattle Cannabis Cup. High Times will be representing there, I assume?
We will, but it's not this weekend. We are September 7th and 8th in Seattle.
Oh, I'm talking about the Seattle Hemp Fest, though. Will High Times be
at
the Hemp Fest?
Oh, the Hemp Fest, yes. Our associate publisher, Rick Cusick, and senior cultivation editor, Danny Danko, will be in attendance there, so keep an eye out for them.
All right, yeah, looking forward to that. And this, of course, be the first legal Seattle Hemp Fest, so I'm sure there'll be plenty for us to report on there. But as you alluded to, the other big Seattle event, just 3 weeks later, or I guess it'd be 2 weeks, hard for me to tell just off the top of my head, but... September, 7th and 8th, we've got the Cannabis Cup?
7th and 8th, that's right, yes. We're looking forward to being out in Seattle for the second U.S. Cannabis Cup, open to all adults, so that's very exciting for us.
Right, the second cup in America, following the one in Denver that took place 420. This is kind of the second appearance of High Times up in Seattle, but the previous cups had been medical cannabis cups. What change does I-502 and legalization mean for people if they want to be judges at this cup?
Well, as far as judging is concerned, it's not like Amsterdam. So if you go there, you're not going to be trying out all the pod and then voting on the winners. That is unique still to Amsterdam. We hope someday that that's the case in the U.S., but right now it's not. However, the change of law in Seattle really opens things up for us. So this cup is going to be much larger than the last one. We expect nearly twice the attendance. And everyone who comes, pot is legal. So if you're an adult, you could just come there and get your ticket and smoke some of the best pot in Washington.
Right on. Now, are there different ticket levels people need to be aware of?
There are, yeah. We sell a variety of things there. You could buy day passes for each day. You could buy a two-day pass. There's a VIP pass, which includes a really exciting concert. We have Slightly Stupid and Redman for our Saturday night concert, so that's exciting. And if you don't want to, you know, participate in the Cup, which I don't understand why you wouldn't, but if you don't want to, you could buy a ticket just for that concert.
There we go. But you want to go to all of this stuff because the day events are amazing. The vendors you'll see there and the displays, the best experts and the best products that you could want to find, you'll find them at the Cannabis Cups. And I'm wondering if you've got any panels. I know you sometimes will have speakers and panels at these events.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Actually, are you planning on being in Seattle?
I will be. I will be in Seattle. I saw something about a media panel.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to our managing editor, Jen Bernstein, and we'd like to invite you to participate in the social media panel if you'd like to sit in on that.
Absolutely. You know, I've really appreciated the opportunities High Times have given me to speak at these events, and to be able to do that would be wonderful.
That's great, yeah. So it's going to be the third social media panel that we've done. It's hosted by our managing editor, Jen Bernstein, but in addition to that, Danny Danko is going to do two seminars focusing on indoor and outdoor cultivation. And Elise McDonough is going to do some cannabis edibles seminars, which are going to be really exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of those.
All right. And I also understand, you know, we've been playing the preview ad here in rotation on 420 Radio. And you mentioned the Lifetime Achievement Award for a good friend of mine, Rick Steves.
Yeah, we're excited to give that award to Rick Steves. You know, he did so much for I-502, and, you know, including his tour and just getting really good information about pot out there. So we're very proud to present him with the High Times Dr. Lester Grinspoon Lifetime Achievement Award, and that's going to take place during the Sunday night award ceremony. So that's going to be great.
All right. Now, just, you know, reflecting back on the Denver Cup, there was one little sore spot with some of the locals that happened in Denver. Following the Cup, there was some controversy about who was supposed to clean up the garbage. And it kind of left a black eye, and things were a misunderstanding. Could you kind of just explain to people what happened there so they don't think that High Times is going to come into their town and trash the place?
Yeah, that was a really unfortunate situation, and it sort of seems like every time the marijuana movement makes some kind of great progress, and I thought overall the Denver event was, you know, a terrific, you know, event for pot and for the cause and everything. You know, it seems like there's going to be some kind of negativity that gets spread around, and it was an unfortunate event. Basically, as I understand it, we had paid in advance for the venue to take care of the cleanup directly after the event. And unfortunately, they dragged their feet a little bit. I think there was some snow or something involved. I'm not 100% sure. But basically, it didn't get done immediately. They took care of it, I think, later that day or later that week. And so it was, you know, up to them to clean up. We had paid for that and anticipated that it was going to be needed. But, you know, I guess the scheduling was a little, you know, off. And unfortunately, that's what got reported on. But you know, we took everyone's complaints very seriously about that matter, and we're preparing properly in Seattle, and we hope that it's not going to be an issue again.
Oh yeah, I know it won't be, and it was a weird situation. I remember at the Cup, I was risking sunburn, and as I was at the airport waiting to fly out, I was in snow. It was like no visibility snow, so it was a weird situation.
Yeah.
All right, so
it was.
The Seattle Cannabis Cup coming up on the 7th and 8th. I assume the website, you just go to cannabiscup.com?
Yeah, all the information is up on cannabiscup.com. So, you know, if you want to know more about the scheduling or the guest artists, or if you're just interested in purchasing tickets, you could do all of that right there at cannabiscup.com.
All right, and you briefly mentioned Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. What's the schedule for that? And, of course, you know, we're still having it, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's our 26th Cup in Amsterdam. We're gearing up for it now, so the schedule isn't quite set. I actually heard some really exciting news in my office just about 15 minutes ago. I'm going to have to not say it because the ink isn't dry on that contract, but if that is the case, it's going to be a very exciting lineup for the musical acts there. So It's our 26th year, and we're going to be better than ever. It's going to be a huge event, and I'm very excited about it. You know, I got to go over there in May of this year to sort of do a little, you know, Canada's Cup preview with Danny Danko, and I can't wait to get back.
All right, it's going to be a good time, and I'm really hoping I get to make it out to Amsterdam this year. I've got the passport ready to go. We're just looking for the sponsorship to make it happen. All right, let's get to the next issue of High Times, and I don't know what's the next newsstand issue. I know you're a couple, 3 months ahead of time. What's the issue date coming out?
Yeah, we work a little ahead of time. So it's October 2013 that just hit newsstands today.
Okay, and what features will we find picking up the newsstand issue?
Right. Well, as I just mentioned, that little Cannabis Cup preview trip that Dan and I took back in May, we have the Amsterdam Cannabis Cup preview in October.
Okay.
And so that's got some great previews for that particular event. We also have the birth of Bubba Kush, and this is pretty cool. So we've done this a little bit in the past where we kind of take a strain and examine its history, how it came to be in its current state, and so Dan Skye gives Bubba Kush that treatment in the October issue. We also have an interview with Ross Rabigliotti, who was, of course, the Olympic gold snowboarder, who then tested positive for pot, and then there was the struggle over whether or not he should keep his Olympic gold. And he's a big proponent of marijuana. He's up in Canada, so we're excited to have him as part of this issue. And if you're interested in a little bit of a read, you know, get away from some of the heavier pot stuff, we have We All Live in a Yayo Submarine. And that article, which is one of my favorite titles of all time, that's all about how narco subs are used to smuggle cocaine and sort of inside that world of underwater cocaine smuggling. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, those submarines are being built in the jungle, and it's just amazing what people come up with to get around prohibition, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, so pick up the edition. I always want to say episode. New edition of High Times magazine out there on the newsstands today. October issue coming up. I've got some articles coming up in some forthcoming issues of High Times, so we'll always be previewing those. And Mike, I suppose we'll see you up in Seattle, man.
That sounds great, man. I can't wait.
All right. Thanks for the preview. And also, I want to encourage people to check out Free Weed with Danny Danko. It's on Wednesday nights here at 5 p.m. or 5 p.m. Pacific here in the, or 4 p.m. Pacific here in 420 Radio. And going
That's
on episode.
Right. Episode 41 drops tomorrow. We're pretty excited. So definitely check that out. Free Weed from Danny Danko.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike G. And again, we'll see you. And thanks for joining us here on 420 Radio.
Thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, time for a radical rant. I'm going to take a look at more of Kevin Sabet's inane, pathetic spinning of the Sanjay Gupta We Eat documentary. Be right back.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department is continuing to put people in jail for sale and use on occasion of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, and hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
I've paid my dues.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, it just seems like I debunk one Kevin Sabet idiocy, and then I turn around and there's another Kevin Sabet idiocy. My work is never done with this man, so here we go once more into the breach. On his latest post at Huffington Post, Kevin Sabet is trying to muddy the waters with respect to the scheduling of marijuana, trying to confuse people about the call by Americans for Safe Access, by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, by many people to reschedule marijuana from Schedule 1 down to Schedule 2, where it would have at least a recognized medical value in the United States. And this has gained a lot of traction. A lot of people can't understand why it would be classified in the same level as heroin and LSD and PCP and mushrooms and all these vile drugs as far as the harm comparison goes. His post leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to logic and reasoning. So I just thought I would give you a chance to hear how to tear this stuff apart bit by bit, because it's just so easy. He begins by saying the reason marijuana hasn't been rescheduled is because no product of whole raw marijuana has a currently accepted medical use in the U.S. So why doesn't whole marijuana have a currently accepted medical use? Well, there have not been scientific studies of adequate size and duration showing that a product comprised of raw whole marijuana, smoked, vaporized, or otherwise ingested, has medicinal value. So ignore what your own lying eyes are telling you when you see the story of Charlotte Feige, the young girl having 300 seizures a week that gets cut down to one thanks to cannabis. Ignore what your own lying eyes tell you when you see the 19-year-old man with the constant diaphragmatic spasms who's able to reduce those spasms and talk and live a normal life. Forget about that. Forget about what you see in 20 different medical marijuana states. Forget about Kathy Jordan, who was supposed to die in 1990, who's still alive with Lou Gehrig's disease, because the FDA hasn't gotten enough studies and there's really no proof. Ignore what your own lying eyes are telling you. That's what Kevin Sabet wants you to do. He goes on trying to explain this, saying the FDA has never approved crude plant materials as a prescription medicine, partly because there is no way to administer it in defined doses without any toxic byproducts. Isn't this interesting how he transitions from talking specifically about cannabis to approving crude plant materials in general, so that he can shoehorn in this part about toxic byproducts? Because cannabis, as we all know, has no toxic byproducts. Nice try trying to slip that one in, guilt by association there. And the point of the FDA and the point of having these laws that control the prescription drug market and require thorough and rigorous testing and making sure there's defined doses and specific constituents in a pill, the reason that's all necessary is because when we were trying to regulate drugs in the beginning of the 20th century, a lot of them were, say it with me, kids, toxic and addictive. And some of them were dangerous as far as their side effects. And we needed to make sure these things were tested and that doctors were controlling them, because if they were misused, if they were overused, they could kill someone or cause terrible side effects. Cannabis doesn't have that property. The laws that are built around running cannabis through the FDA don't apply. FDA is there for things that could possibly be harmful to us. So Sabet goes on, and this is a really insane little juggling act he has to do, this little balancing act where he has to say that plant is bad, but stuff in plant is good. Let me just quote from his piece here. He says, which components within marijuana have accepted medicinal value? Marinol, entirely containing lab-made THC, you know, not something from a nasty plant. The active ingredient in marijuana, that is what gets you high, is in Schedule 3 and widely available. Really? So the THC that's in a marijuana bud that comes out 20%, that's a deadly dangerous drug, but the THC that's made in a lab is Schedule 3. In fact, it was originally Schedule 2 and it was found to be so safe that it was rescheduled downwards to Schedule 3. It's one of the few times that's ever happened with any drug to get scheduled lower. But it's in a pill and made in a lab, so of course it must be safe. He also goes on to say that THC has also been tested but not yet approved as an analgesic, meaning it helps lessen severe pain, like the pain associated with cancer. It's been tested but not approved. It's not been approved for that. It's not specific for that. It's really more specific for nausea. Did you know that 1 out of 5 prescriptions written in the United States are written for off-label uses? That means a doctor can get a bottle of pills that say are good for blood pressure and prescribe them to a guy to help him with hair loss. Even though they might not have actually been approved for hair loss, it's up to a doctor's discretion to be able to prescribe that drug for what he feels it will be beneficial for, even though the FDA didn't test it for that purpose. But for cannabis, no, we can't have that happen. Also, Kevin goes on to talk about CBD because, of course, Charlotte Figi in the Sanjay Gupta show was using a CBD oil off of a strain of plants called Charlotte's Web, which is a 27% CBD and less than 1% THC. He says, quote, recently, scientists have discovered CBD has powerful anti-seizure and other therapeutic properties. CBD does not get you high and barely exists in the modern marijuana found on the street today. It's always about this high with Kevin Sabet. Oh my God, somebody out there might be feeling good. It's the high. They just feel like they have to demonize this high. And folks, I know a lot of pot smokers. I know a lot of pot smokers, and there's nothing fearful or harmful about their high, especially compared to the high one gets from alcohol or any of these toxic addictive pharmaceuticals that Kevin Sabet would prefer you use instead. You don't think morphine gets you high? Now, he goes on to say, he goes on to talk about CBD and THC in Sativex. So apparently the THC is okay when it's lab made in a pill, and the CBD is at least tolerable when it's extracted from the plant, and the THC plus the CBD together are okay as long as it's in a spray, but THC plus CBD together in the plant in its natural form is a deadly, dangerous, addictive drug that cannot be given even to a girl with 300 seizures a week. Is that what I'm understanding here, Kevin Sabet? It's a ridiculous point, and this idea that somehow the synthesized constituents of marijuana are medicine, but the plant itself is not, is somewhat like saying vitamin C tablets are good for your nutrition, and orange juice from concentrate will quench your thirst, but if you ate a raw orange, that wouldn't be good for your health and you'd still be thirsty. When in fact, eating the raw orange is better for you because of all the other parts of the orange, the pulp, the fiber, all the other constituents of that orange will help you to absorb that vitamin C better than if it had been in a vitamin C pill. Kevin Sabet represents a pharmaceutical industry and a rehabilitationist industry that is dedicated to maintaining this idea that nature can't help us, that nature can't be medical. It's as insane as the Catholics defending against the Protestants in the early 1600s, saying you must go through a priest to receive communion with God. And the Protestants said, no, we can do it directly ourselves. That's how severe a change in paradigm we are talking about here. We are talking about changing the entire medical paradigm from doctors and labs and specifically dosed medications back to what it was prior to 1940, when doctors back in the day worked through many different potions and preparations and herbs and plants that were provided by nature to help heal us. Ah, but you can't patent nature, can you? Can't make a CEO a fat quarterly bonus on nature, can you? So he continues on here, going on to say that rather than promote, this is Kevin Sabet again, rather than promote a non-accountable system of dispensaries run by non-medical staff with ties to the underground economy and who sell marijuana to anyone with a pulse, are you talking about those brothers on the Sanjay Gupta special who, at great personal risk, are growing flowers to help treat the little girl with the 300 seizures a week? Are those the non-medical staff with ties to the underground economy who sell marijuana to anyone with a pulse? Because those are the people you're lumping him in with. All the good people who do their best to help patients in need. And if you got a problem with the underground economy and selling marijuana to anyone with a pulse, bring that economy above the ground. And recognize that anyone above the age of 21 with a pulse has a right to be able to use cannabis if they so choose. And this other statement he's gotten this, he says, the issue of scheduling is distracting and essentially meaningless since the differences between Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 are mainly technical. They're not meaningless to the researchers that are trying to get access to whole plant cannabis, and all they have access to is the University of Mississippi's freeze-dried swag to work with, if even they can get that, and the only way they can get that is by promising to research how bad it will be for people. That's the only way they can get the grant through the NIDA. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy to say there's no scientific research that backs up how good marijuana is for you if you don't allow any research that finds out how good marijuana is for you to proceed. And his final thing here, he says, we should develop pharmacy-obtainable medications that are safe and effective with reliable dosage and known composition. In the meantime, we can enroll the most seriously ill into research programs as long as they understand potential risks so they can get these promising products today, including children with uncontrollable seizures. Oh, really? So when's that research program starting, Kevin? When does that start? Does that start today? How many more days, weeks, months, or years would Charlotte Feige have to be waiting for your promised research program to keep her from dying in her parents' arms? How many more days does she have to wait? Because right now, she is using medical marijuana. Right now, the state of Colorado's constitutional amendment has saved her life, and you opposed that law. Oh, I tell you, folks, nothing pisses me off more than a rehabitionist trying to protect the profits of the for-profit pharmaceutical medical healthcare industrial insurance complex. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us here live from Miami, Florida. We'll be back with you tomorrow with the author of Sick Justice. We'll ask him what he thinks about the latest holder promise with respect to the drug war. And on Thursday, 1 hour with Bobby Platshorn. Thanks for joining us, folks. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.